This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a concentration of energy from J. Randall Murphy, and it's not the Eradicator. And I'm not going to explain what the Eradicator is. Unless you're into comic books.
No, I mean, it's not really funny at all, because before the break, we were talking about this case out in B.C., where this is like potentially a mass murder of children type of situation.
Yeah.
And I would suspect, I would go as far as to say that I wouldn't be surprised if people were to go out and start interviewing people that live in the area, that they've experienced all kinds of stuff with children and apparitions and everything else.
It's definitely the case around this hospital here. A good friend of mine who actually works with me, he grew up in that area within walking distance from this place, and it was active in that area his whole life, and as well as other people that we've interviewed. So I would imagine that it's probably very similar. What's interesting when you talk to people and even before the general public kind of knew what was going on with this hospital, what was interesting was that every single person that you spoke to said there's something wrong with that property. There's something wrong with the building. Nobody wanted to go near it. It sat abandoned for like 20 years. It just sat there. And so there was a lot of controversy as to why that was going on. And I think part of it is because if you dig up a building like that, you're going to open up a humongous can of worms. And they have. So I think what's been interesting is that for me is that I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who has said, oh, no, that building's fine. You know, everybody on some gut level instinct, even though they had no idea about the history, knew something was wrong. And it makes me wonder, too, you know, with these other locations, just how many people felt that way also.
Well, they had been talking about it for a long time. People would say and outright accuse people of having committed these crimes, and nobody was taking them seriously until somebody finally went out with a ground-penetrating radar and started discovering what they believe are the remains of lots of people that are buried there. I don't know what the cause is, but I guess they'll have to get medical examiners out there and forensic scientists to determine, you know, what the cause of deaths were. Right now, you know, there's been a lot of talk that they were, you know, the victims of foul play. We don't know if maybe there was some kind of, you know, who knows, maybe there was some kind of disease involved or something else. I don't know. But it's looking pretty grim regardless.
Yeah, there's been so much, you know, documented abuse and things like that have gone on. And oftentimes, you know, people kind of think that it's these, you know, old abandoned places that have a lot of paranormal activity or whatever. And it's simply not true. It's usually the places that have been the most populated by people and statistically. And you get a place like this where there's been a heavy emotional impact. And sometimes that can be really positive emotional impact, or it can be, you know, negative emotional impact, you know, but that's typically where we start seeing stuff going a little bit haywire. And, you know, I think, you know, the Charles Campbell was definitely a great example of that. I mean, as we experienced some pretty amazing stuff, you know, even just on the property. When I was doing one of the classes, we went down there, and there was one of the students that had a video camera, and she had been filming the land. It was dark out, and she'd been filming the land. This was probably in the early 2000s. What was so bizarre was that she was noticing these little lights all in and around the emergency doorway or what used to be the emergency doorway of the hospital. And you'd look through the viewfinder on her video camera, and you could see them. If you took the viewfinder, like you just looked at it with your naked eye, you couldn't see anything. And we noticed these flashing, and then they would come up to the door, and then eventually it would disappear. Then you'd see more come up. And we all actually ended up getting back on the bus and driving around, because we were like, who's over there? Like, there shouldn't be anybody over there. There's a huge gate around the property. Like, this is weird. And when we got over there, there was nothing. No one, no cars, no nothing. But when you held up the video camera again, you could see these lights. And it was my driver, who's a volunteer firefighter. He was looking at it and identified them. He's like, those are cherry lights. Those are cherry lights from the old ambulances. And lo and behold, that's what we were looking at. It looked like we were watching a videotape of this, these ambulances pulling up. It was just bizarre. So there's some really weird stuff that goes in and around, but I kind of wonder if, you know, that might have, what's going on there might have something to do with that. It's pretty intriguing.
Very interesting. You also do what you call spiritual health care, and have had a show where you talk about that on a regular basis. Is that still happening, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, oh my gosh, so during the pandemic, or right back when the whole thing started, I decided that I could use the platform that I have with Entity Seeker as something that's useful for people, and to be able to turn around and give them a place to go for information, because that's what people have relied on Entity Seeker for ages. So I developed this idea called spiritual healthcare, where we were talking a little bit about the paranormal, but using tools that I teach my clients, you know, different ways to journal, finding your center, you know, just things that have really helped my clients deal with the fear of the unknown that had now transferred over to something else other than the paranormal. Now they were, you know, afraid of this virus that they couldn't see. So we started to do this, and then at the end of every show, we would do a meditation, this sort of affirmation meditation, and it really caught on. And I only had expected to do this show for probably about a month and a half, because of course back then we were like, oh, 2 weeks to curb the virus. And needless to say, 2 weeks turned into a month, and then a month turned into 2 months, and so on. And 151 episodes later, I was still doing this. So I just recently closed the show down. The last episode was 151, and it's actually getting transferred now over into a brand new podcast that I'm gonna be that I'm a part of that's gonna be launching this fall. So spiritual healthcare, all the classes are still available for people to watch and stuff like that, but it's kind of taking this next evolution into a new podcast.
That sounds really, really interesting. We should talk about a little bit more about your plans for that podcast, but just looking at your site here on entityseeker.ca, one of them that just caught my attention, spiritual health care, number day 150, organ donation. What happens when the receiver begins to act like the donor? Can you talk a little bit about some of that?
Yeah, so this is such a wild phenomenon, because what people have, and doctors and surgeons have reported over the years, is people that are getting or receiving body parts, whether it be a heart, lungs, eyes, whatever, and starting to take on characteristics of the donor. And of course, they don't know the donor. They have no idea who this person was most of the time. But they end up getting like really bizarre new skills. Like they wake up and all of a sudden they're like, either really good at piano or like are obsessed with learning the piano, and it turned out that the person before them was a maestro. You know, that donor was a maestro or something like that. Really interesting things. Or they pick up like a like for food that person loved that they always hated. But some of them undergo personality changes that others can't explain. We had a family friend actually go through something very similar. She had a double lung transplant, and she was always super neat, tidy lady, kept her apartment really nice. She was just all really put together, very outgoing. And after the double lung transplant, she instantly turned into a depressive hoarder, and her personality did a 180, and, you know, as it turned out, you know, it was reflective of the person that gave her the lungs. And she was never the same after that.
We have Morgan Knudsen. Morgan Knudsen. A fascinating scenario there. Getting a transplant and taking on the personality of the person who was the original owner of those organs. More to come with Gene Randall. And Morgan, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
When you mention that, I think, my wife has had 3 corneal transplants, 2 in one eye because she had rejection symptoms. So therefore, she has had the cornea of 3 different people. I assume 3 different people. Does that mean she has 3 different personalities?
I don't know. It seems to be related to what they're believing is memory cells. They're not too sure just how far this goes yet, but they used to think that memory cells were something that were just in the brain, and they're beginning to realize that that's not true, that these memory cells exist within organs and whatnot. So it's really interesting. And I don't know as much about it, I think, as I would like to, but it's a phenomenon that's really interesting. And as I think science rolls along with understanding just the impact we have on our environment and on our own bodies, we're going to understand this more. But it's really pretty cool phenomenon.
Well, that would mean we have to match up organs in another way other than the way they're done now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pulling everything into a big question, I think, for a lot of doctors.
Well, obviously we know about the horror films where somebody gets the heart of a murderer and suddenly they're taking down people. So we know it's been common there. But if any of that is real, what does that tell us about anything? And does that mean that if that characteristic is assumed by the recipient, then is this something we can manipulate on a genetic level?
Well, and that becomes a question as well, you know, is this something that we've got control over? One of the things that they're talking about now in terms of even psychometry, and for the listeners, psychometry is when a medium or somebody will pick up an object and be able to read the object, so discover dates, names, the history of the object, and things like that when they don't know what it is. They're thinking that it might actually be a very similar phenomenon, because within the mechanics of the quantum world, we leave bits of ourselves every single time that we, on a molecular level, a particle level, every time we handle something. And they think that what these mediums might be picking up on is that. It's a actual molecular reading of what's going on. So if somebody has owned an object and there's only been one owner, that reading's going to be clearer than if the object has had like six owners. So they're wondering if that's connected, where, you know, if you give somebody a heart or something like that, then all of a sudden you're kind of getting almost like a reading from that heart or from that lung or something like that. It's really interesting.
It implies as well, I mean, this goes back to what we started talking about at the beginning of the show. It suggests that our material bodies are a lot more valuable and influential in terms of determining who we are as our personality and our identity.
Yep.
Because, I mean, in theory, if we were to take this all the way, if you transplanted every single thing from another living person into another living person, you would end up being that person. There would be no more of you left.
The question I would have then before Morgan responds is, if you transferred virtually everything, what about the education? Do you transfer the organs from a doctor and the recipient becomes a doctor?
If the brain is part of the transfer, I would certainly think so.
Well, we're not assuming the brain here.
Well, yeah, I am those, right? So like I'm saying, if you can transfer every single physical thing about a person to another person, well, this takes us back to the whole transporter in Star Trek philosophical discussion. Is the person that materializes on the other end of the beam the same person or just a copy of that person?
Well, that would also imply that you have to have a perfect copy every time. Otherwise, the quality of the copy deteriorates from each generation.
Right.
So eventually, right. Captain Kirk is mush.
Well, that's why they have the pattern buffers and all of the other stuff. And there's some interesting episodes where they deal with exactly that, or the transporter malfunctions, and they end up as polar opposites in other universes or something like that.
But it's the mirror universe in Star Trek lexicon.
Right.
But also in Stargate, they were thinking of a similar phenomenon, that you have a buffer that contains the person, and if the operation is not completed, they're lost in the buffer, and you have
exactly
to recover them.
Right. So, I mean, again, this speaks to how anything that would be an afterlife would, at best, again, have to be some kind of copy, right? Because your body is no longer there. It's in a jar if it's been cremated as ashes sitting on a shelf or something, and therefore it's not whatever it is that you perceive it to be in this other alternate realm. It has to be something that is filled in and taken the place of it.
Or if there is something embedded in the body that retains the personality that we cannot measure, and that once the body is dead, it's released.
But the thing is, we were just talking about that, is that personality is directly related to our physical makeup, even in the form of organs that are transplanted. Well, imagine if you went all the way and did the brain too. I mean,
well, the brain would be the logical like thing, because we think of the organ? We think of the brain, Randall, as being the source of everything. Whatever makes you Randall, heaven forbid, whatever makes you Randall is in your brain. If we take your brain and put it in another body, well, it's a common sci-fi trope. That
right, but
body is you.
But what we're talking about here is not just the brain here, because they're finding neurons throughout our bodies, and particularly through our whole digestive system and around our heart. And when we feel things in our heart and we get that feeling in the pit of our stomachs, and those are all neurons that are, a lot of them, like a good portion percentage of like what would be in our brain is down there too, working, and that makes us feel certain things. Well, if those are gone, then, and we don't feel that way, or they're replaced by someone else's, they're no longer ours, they're someone else's. And this is being reflected, according to Morgan, if I'm reading you right, in actual transplant patients.
Yeah, I think there's so many questions around this, the whole concept, because, you know, it doesn't seem, we still don't know what parts of, say, for example, a person would be retained in the memory cells of a heart, or what parts of the person that are even retained in the memory cells of the brain for that matter, you know. And it comes back to David Chalmers, you know, is consciousness emergent or fundamental? But I think with these memory cells, and we don't know which parts of us are we translating, you know, like how many of the memory cells in the brain are connected to, you know, something that were, you know, a personality trait versus those memory cells that are in our touch or our lung or whatever that is. So I think there's some questions about it that we can't really answer, because we're just not versed enough in it yet. Like it's coming, but we're not there yet.
By the way, we're going to transfer these intelligences to you. So listen to them and see what you think. More to come with Gene Randall. Morgan, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Missouri's Attorney General says he will sue the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County for reintroducing a mask mandate for indoor public spaces. Officials announced the reinstatement on Friday, citing a spike in the number of COVID cases and hospitalizations from the disease. Attorney General Eric Schmidt said in a tweet that he'd be filing a lawsuit Monday to stop the mandate from going into effect. The largest wildfire burning in the western United States has now burnt over 400,000 acres in and around the Fremont-Winema National Forest in southern Oregon. Fire officials say that it's been 42% contained, but continued gusty winds and dry conditions have made fighting the fire difficult. And a federal court has lifted CDC restrictions on Florida-based cruise ships as the industry begins to start sailing again. A three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is siding with a lawsuit that argued the CDC's multi-step process for returning to cruising was overburdensome on cruise lines and would harm their business. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. is offering evacuation flights from Kabul for thousands of Afghans who served our military, but just getting to Kabul may be impossible for those who live outside of the capital city. Mike Fortier reports.
The Taliban controls most of the roads in Afghanistan, so driving to Kabul is out of the question for those who live in remote areas. Even just driving to the local airport for a flight to Kabul may be too risky, and flights can be expensive. Staying in Afghanistan, though, means almost certain death. Human Rights First says people are begging for help, and dozens have reached out to the Association of War Allies looking for money for plane tickets to Kabul. A U.S. military official says we have no ability to get the Afghans to Kabul because we don't have a national military presence. Time is running out. A 33-year-old in Kandahar who worked for the U.S. military as an IT tech tells NBC News his city is surrounded and it can fall to the Taliban at any time. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I agree with you seriously, Morgan Knudsen, that there's a lot about humans, a lot about life that we do not understand. And
yeah, we're not,
if
we're so
part
far.
Of us is transferred, if we do organ transplants, well, maybe we should get 3D machines that create organs. And just have organs that have no personality and can assume the personality of the recipient.
Well, and that's where you get into things like stem cells, I think, you know, right? Things like that where, you know, we're basically growing these organs from almost from scratch, I guess, not quite, but almost. And so, yeah, like it would be interesting to see if we get the same effects with an organ that was, say, grown in a lab versus one that was transferred out of a car accident victim or something like that.
I would expect we would. Going back to before the break, when we were talking about how much we do know and how much we don't know, I think it's important to distinguish that there's a difference between personality and consciousness.
I agree.
But there's, in other words, psychologists and neuroscientists know a lot about what parts of the brain and which neurons affect personality, and they know how to affect them with different kinds of operations and drugs, and that's how we get treatment for personality disorders. And it's very, actually, really, there's a lot of information out there now. And we also know that the thalamocortical loop plays a crucial role in initializing consciousness within people. But consciousness isn't the same as personality. Consciousness is just
right.
Kind of loosely defined as our awareness of actually having a personality in the first place.
Yes.
If we have a personal identity, that is more a personality than our consciousness. Consciousness is kind of like an empty drive that is kind of aware of the darkness until it's given sensory input and education.
Yeah, and experience. You know, I think a lot of these things are based on experience. Like these, you know, these people that, for example, you know, that take on the like of a food that this other person loved that they originally hated. You know, like that one is a very specific like of somebody in the physical world, not a non-physical consciousness.
Right. And I would think that we would probably class that as a personality trait as opposed to a facet of their consciousness. Their consciousness is aware that I don't know what the food was, but maybe they didn't like curry and they were aware of that. Their consciousness knew they weren't aware of it, but now their consciousness is aware that they do. And they don't know necessarily how to reconcile that, but part of their new body is saying, yummy, I like that. I want more. So,
yeah.
Right? So if we take this whole concept and say, well, all of a sudden your entire body that has all of that in it is now gone. What is it in this afterworld that replaces all of that? And that's where you can grasp the idea that it has to be a copy. Whatever it is, even if it's a memory buffer or something else, the actual real thing that it was is, like I say, sitting on the drawer on the shelf. But the one that's in the afterworld isn't. And therefore, it can only be something other than the original.
Yeah, it's such a rabbit hole when you get into it. I'm going to be so fascinated to see over the next 10 years where they go with this organ issue, because I think there is a huge key to how we function as not only as humans, but as beings that are more than just meat suits. I think we're going to find a lot of keys to understanding how it is that, you know, things like mediumship works. I think we're going to find a real deep understanding as to how much our bodies actually play in our sensory perception of the world, both physical and non-physical. It's going to be a really neat journey, but I think there's going to be some big answers coming through this specific avenue.
Because people aren't as afraid, maybe, in the past, it seems to be going in this direction. And I'm not sure what your experience is, Morgan, but this would be really interesting to know because of the position that you're in. It seems that society in general is opening up to these ideas in the way that we're talking about them. In other words, we're not all getting religious about it and preachy. We're just saying that there is phenomena and maybe there are ways to explain it that can be thought of as academic or scientific if we look at it that way.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think where we're really seeing the advancements is even in just how the, like, universities, for example, are taking it. Like Yale recently just opened up their COPE program, in regards to understanding, like out of body experiences and near death experiences and stuff. And psychic phenomenon. We've got, you know, of course, universities that have been doing this for years, like Edinburgh and Northampton and places like that. But I think now it's becoming a lot more public. I mean, they're still underfunded, but it's becoming something that is more advertised where, you know, you look back at the 1970s, for instance, when, you know, UCLA and their parapsychology lab was stuck in their basement and again, still underfunded. But I think now that we've got the option of and the explanations of quantum physics and the new advancements in theoretical physics, I think we're going to see these areas of parapsychology open up a lot more because people are now going, oh no, that's, you know, they're not thinking this is crazy and silly anymore. It's like, no, hold on. We've gathered a new paradigm here with these different theories and these different ideas. And now all that stuff that everybody thought was a little crazy is starting to make a lot more sense. So I think the more we can do that and the more we can open those doors up, the more we're going to see this come to light.
I can see that really changing the field that you're in as a whole. You are one of the, I would say, rare people that are able to adapt your perspective on this according to the new information that comes out and the new ways that you're able to integrate it into your worldview. But a lot of people can't. there are going to be still those people that say, no, we want to believe that it is set out in the way that the good book says it is, and that's all there is to that. And if you are otherwise a witch or a heretic, and 200 years ago you might still have been burned at the cross. You know, I hate to say that, but...
Yeah, but you're right, and I think it is. It is a paradigm shift, and the people I think that are going to get stuck in the old knowledge, and I like you, I see it consistently in a lot of areas. They're going to get lost in that. That is going to phase them out eventually. Like, we got to be able to keep up with the new stuff that's coming out in order to pass the right information on to people. And for me, that is my highest priority, is how do we get people the most accurate information about what's going on? And I think at least my most accurate opinion, nothing else. But, you know, I think if you're ignoring that information, you're getting lost in the old ways of doing it. This is not the field for you to be in, because this stuff is moving so fast, and our understanding of the mind, of consciousness, all of this is moving so fast that if you want to stay stuck in that, this is just the wrong field to be in.
Where is it heading, and what is this upcoming podcast of yours going to be focusing on?
So I'm super excited about this podcast because it's called Supernatural Circumstances, and I'm co-hosting it with a good friend of mine from the podcast, Dark Poutine, Mike Brown. And I've done his show a number of times, and he's primarily true crime. And, but we've done different cases. We've done Amityville. We've done a bunch of paranormal true crime cases over the years, on his show together. And we wanted to bring aspects of that genre where, you know, we're talking about paranormal cases and, like true crime and bizarre things and whatever, and the spiritual healthcare side of it as well.
We have more to come with Morgan, with Gene, and with Randall. So stay tuned. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Morgan Knudsen telling us about different things you worked on. You said you were involved in the show about Amityville. Learn anything new about it?
We had a good discussion on Dark Poutine about this, and we were mainly going over not only the crime aspect of what had happened, but the mental health aspect of what had happened with those houses, and the mental health aspect that occurs within paranormal cases in general. That there is a component there that has to be looked at. So we spent I wouldn't say there's new information about it per se, but the goal of I think what Mike Brown and I wanted to cover was how we can take a look at these cases through the lens of not only the police officers involved, but also sort of the psychology of what has gone on, which is what we're hoping to do in our new podcast, Supernatural Circumstances, as well.
Is there going to be sort of a CSI kind of aspect to this, where, you know, maybe there were psychics involved in the investigation, or would that just be kind of maybe something you might touch on at some time, as opposed to how factual is it going to be? Real life cases? And
it is, we're definitely all going to be doing real life cases that people aren't necessarily familiar with as well. And you know, the ones that people are familiar with, we really want to delve at these things from a different angle. We want to be able to take a hard look at them, you know, maybe from not only the angle of, you know, law enforcement, how do law enforcement deal with paranormal phenomenon when they get phone calls, you know, how do you approach that? You know, we want to talk about things like, you know, the Philip experiment. Do we create ghosts with our minds? How does that happen? You know, the experiment in Ontario that actually, you know, demonstrated that this is a factor. We really want to get people thinking with this, and we want people to walk away going, holy crap, you know, I've heard this before, but I've never thought about it like this.
Before you go on, Morgan, just stop there. Create a ghost?
Yeah.
Okay, because as soon as you opened that up, I said, wait a minute, before we talk about anything else, how do you do that?
Yeah, this was an experiment, and this is actually, we're hoping to launch this as possibly one of the first episodes, which was a case or a study done in Ontario back in the 1970s in with both Mensa and the Society of Psychical Research. And what they wanted to do, what they wanted to understand, was whether or not the phenomenon that was occurring was actually being generated and manifested by the people that were trying to get the phenomenon to happen. So what they did was they got together a group of individuals, as I say, both from Mensa and the Society of Psychical Research, and they sat down and created a character by the name of Philip. And so Philip never existed, but they made him this really involved character with this really deep background. And they talked about him enough so that they started to believe that this guy was real. This guy had lived. And they took all the principles of the Victorian seances at the time, and they thought, we're going to sit down and we're going to see if we can create this, like if we can get Philip to respond to us. And they did this for about a year. They met religiously, and it wasn't until they realized that they were actually being too stoic about it, that they had to have more fun with things, because that's what they did back in Victorian times. The seances were very much a happy gathering. They began to actually get a response, and they had furniture moving, they had, you know, responses to their questions, they had all of this stuff happen, and it all responded to this name Philip. When they recreated the experiment with another group, that they created a character called Lilith, and same thing, like in-depth background character, this person never existed, and they got the same response. And this has been one of the piece of the foundation for my own work, is the fact that, you know, whatever this was seemed to have consciousness. It seemed to be a thinker. It seemed to respond. It was doing all the things you'd expect this entity to do if it was, you know, this other person. But it was completely created by these people and their belief that this thing existed. So it was probably, in my opinion, one of the most impactful studies in paranormal research ever.
Okay, now, something occurred to me. Say you have an actor and an ensemble, and they've created this character for a TV show. And I'll give you an example. We have Law & Order SVU.
Yep.
We have Captain Benson, played by Mariska Hargitay. For over 20 years, she spent 16 hours a day being that character. Okay? Because, you know, doing episodic TV, an hour show every week for 22
Absolutely.
Episodes. So she's spending most of her life being that person. And you think, okay, well, based on what you tell me here, if you got the cast together and imagine that Captain Benson was real, would she then become a real person in terms of being a ghost?
That's the question. Yeah, there's the question. And, you know, based on this experiment, the answer would probably be yes. If you had a bunch of people that were focused enough, that believed in their heart of hearts that it was real, that it was a real person. And I think that's where the dividing line is with something like Law and Order, where, you know, with those actors leave it there and they leave that person there and everybody has a collective agreement that that's a character, where with this experiment specifically, they worked with themselves enough to believe that this person was real. So I think that would be the difference. But could it be done with somebody like Benson? I think absolutely it could.
Now, the thing is also, bear in mind here, in her private life, she actually has a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, that deals with women who have been sexually abused, even men who have been sexually abused.
Yep.
So she's taking the character that she created and brought it to her life. And in one of the episodes, as a matter of fact, dealing with the difficulty in getting rape kits by police, they had the real vice president at the time, Joseph Biden, when he was vice president, come on the show and do a cameo. So you have to wonder, where does reality end and show business begin, and vice versa? Because in this case, she did make the personality real. And then I asked people to listen to a story told by an actor named Eric Christian Olsen, who plays Deeks on NCIS LA. This is about the special division of NCIS, and he talks of a situation there where he came upon a car wreck scene. He's played this role for 7 or 8 years, now it's, I think, 12 or 13. And he gets out of the car, and he starts approaching the car wreck as if he's a police officer.
Yeah.
Because he is so used to playing to this character 16 hours a day. And his wife's with him, and she screams at him, "You're not an agent."
Yeah.
And this is something that really happened. And if you've seen the guy being interviewed, he's crazy enough to really act this way. This is what the guy is. So if you ever watch the show and you see the scenes where he and Kenzie is the character that he interacts with, she plays his wife, but in real life she's his sister-in-law. She's married to his brother. It's really crazy. They do these scenes together, and they ad-lib a lot of the dialogue. So they live the characters and become the characters. Yeah. And from what you're telling me here, well, how far does playing a role for 16 hours a day separate from a bunch of mediums getting together and pretending this character exists? It sounds like a very small line of demarcation.
I completely agree. And I think it's this very much the same principle. You know, wherever you're putting focus into and energy into is starts to create itself. And, whether that be something internally for the person, like the actor is starting to believe that that's who they are, or something that's external. I think, that line, I agree with you, is very thin. And, this experiment was such a game changer for some of this research that I think, when you start to look at something like an actor or a TV show that's been running a long time, it would be really interesting to recreate an experiment that was similar to this where, you tried something like that out because, I think you'd get similar results. I really do.
Well, just think here. Grant Gustin, he's the actor who plays The Flash on TV. He is not going to start running at 100 times the speed of sound because he's portrayed this character, because that's special effects.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, special effects. He just runs on a treadmill or something, and the special effects artists create this. Same thing for Henry Cavill as Superman. No, he's not going to imagine that he can take off his glasses and wear the uniform and become Superman. And wonder wearing that uniform how he goes to the bathroom, but we don't want to get graphic about this. But that's a big joke about the Batman uniform. Morgan Knudsen, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, don't know how we got here. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.